This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Miss it, Bonbon?
Yeah, how about that?
A new opening song for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's great by popular demand. I know that we've had a few folks ask us to change the song, and, you know, it was a good opportunity. I know you've been wanting to make some tweaks, and so there you go. You got a new opener, and I think we have a surprise. Do we have a new exit as well?
We have a new exit also,
okay.
And that was played last week also.
Yeah,
so
that's good. I was on vacation.
A lot of people don't know maybe that was specifically chosen, the exit as well as the open.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just talk about the open, and then we can talk about the close just before we close.
Yeah.
And so the open, your wife actually suggested it, Kim.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, basically, the monies can't buy me love, money can't buy me love, and the concept, this is a third stanza, if you listen to the two stanzas before it, you know, he's talking about, you know, he'll do all these things with money if that's what it'll take, but really what he wants to know is that it's not the money you want, it's
right.
Something that money can't buy, and that's
right.
The whole concept of the consulate, and what we believe is that money is an incredible useful tool. You need to be wise with it, you need to use it wisely, but don't put it into a perspective of life
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't deserve to be. Don't
right.
believe that it's the power source of your life. Don't believe it's the joy. If you get joy just because you have money, something's wrong. Something is seriously wrong
right.
if it's only the money that brings joy to you.
Right.
Because
yeah.
it should be relationship that should bring joy to your life. It should be the relationships that you crave. And whether you have, you know, and the statistics are pretty clear, and they've done them for almost 80 years now, going back to the 1940s, and it says that when somebody hits in today's dollars, mm-hmm. $75,000 of income, they have no difference in satisfaction level between a family that makes $75,000 to $100,000 and a family that makes $5 million
mm-hmm.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
No difference in satisfaction level.
Yep.
Now that doesn't mean that you're not going to have people that are ridiculously happy because they have $5 million. But you're going to find just as many as ridiculously happy that they have $75,000 to $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to find many ridiculously unhappy at $75,000 to $100,000, and many ridiculously unhappy at $5 million.
Yep.
And we work with people all the time that have
sure.
a lot of money
yep.
and are not happy.
Yep.
So
we've seen that
you
for
know.
Sure. But, well, and today, you know, we had an early celebration of your birthday. You know, because everybody knows that next Monday.
60.
It's a big 60, and, you know, when we go around the table and we're singing happy birthday, but we're singing praises of you, yeah, everybody was talking, nobody talked about money and how great you were and how much you paid them and how much money you've made for, you know, for the clients or for the company. People talked about you and your relationships. If I were to replay those comments, and as you replay them in your mind, they're all about relationships.
Yep.
And that's what the conversation was today.
That's the way it should be. You know, that's where the power of life is. It's
mm-hmm.
in the relationships. Let's go to Nick real quick, because he's been one of the early adopters of saying, I think 5 years ago, he said, 10 years ago, maybe. You know, Nick, how are you?
Drew, congratulations.
It only took me what? You probably told me that back in 2008 that you didn't like the song and
probably
wanted
something like that. So as soon as I heard the song, you says it was a new one.
Yeah, well you know,
to congratulate you.
Yeah, well, did you like that one?
It's a good song.
There you go. You can't, you know, how can you dislike the Beatles, you know?
How can you go wrong with the Beatles?
That's there you go. But that was a good one. It says what we wanted to say. We've been looking, thinking about it for over a year and finally found a song that really said what we wanted it to say. And so here you go, Nick. Happy birthday to you. When's your birthday, Nick?
In 2 weeks after yours.
All right.
So this is an early birthday gift to you, Nick. Are you going to be 60 also?
Oh, I'm closing in on 70. I'll be 68.
All right. Well, I'm catching up with you, Nick. All right, buddy. You take
Congratulations,
care.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, so Nick's absolutely correct.
Yep.
You can call in, direct the conversation of the show. And we'll talk about anything. You want to talk about music and changing the song, that's fine. If you want to talk about retirement planning or the market or tax planning or estate planning or Social Security or whatever the case may be, we're here to talk about it with you. And that's the whole object of the show, is to demonstrate what true professional financial advising should be. You know, this is an important topic.
Let's give them the number.
Let's give them the number. As Chris says, if Drew can remember it this week, you know, a couple of weeks ago, almost forgot it. He had to tell it to me. So it's 410. Now you see.
922-6680.
I had it on the tip of my tongue.
410-922-6680.
I'm trying to look down here at the little board, and I can't read it because I don't have my glasses on. 410-922-6680.
Tough getting old, I tell you.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. And it can be anything you want, as I say, on personal finances. And as I was going to say, Tom, that's what we do the show, is to demonstrate what we believe true professional financial planning should be. You know, you nowadays, if somebody's doing a reasonably good job on your investments, there's really, you know, the statistics are proven over and over that it's not the investment allocation. It's not the, you know, if somebody just does a straightforward portfolio, a little bit of large cap, a little bit of international, mixes it up, does it right, your rate of return is not going to be dramatically different between one strategy or the other. It's the fees. And the main thing is, it's the quality of the overall advice, the quality of the tax planning, the quality of the estate planning, the quality of helping you on Social Security, the quality of helping you to know truly that you can retire, the integrity of the advice they give you, the unconditioned, you know, unbiased advice that they give you to prevent you from making investments is strictly in your interest and not in the client's interest. That's the thing that drives a solid relationship with an advisor. And somebody said it really well. Trust can be faked, but knowledge and experience cannot be. And that's why we come on the show and do this, is because we cannot fake, you know, people calling us up and asking questions. And, you know, and the SEC was in, and they were asking us, hey, did you do you can those questions? Do you have people call you? And the answer is, of course not. I mean, it's...
We have no idea what's coming.
Yeah, and WCBM will tell you, no, there are people just call up on the air, and there ain't no doubt. These are regular listeners. They don't have any contact with them. And they ask these questions, and they're answering them, because that's what a true professional advisor should do. That's what we train our people at the consulate about, and so that's why we do the show. Anyway, we got to take a pause, and then we're going to be right back. Money, Rich, Wealth. We're on Open Show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We've got an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. So you get to direct the conversation. You're the guest tonight. We have a couple callers online, but other lines are open, 410-922-6680. Stan in Dundalk, how can we help you?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Good.
Good.
Great.
Good.
So don't use any swear words. I'll start throwing some of these words at you, but I have a 403B with Valak.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's a good group.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, because there was some stuff there a while back with AIG, and they were kind of getting a little crazy. But I think that Valley broke away from them or never belonged to them or something at some point.
No, I think they actually still are part of them, but go ahead. There's no big deal with that. What's
anyway, so I'm an ex-county school employee
okay.
for 2 years. I put $500 a month into my 403B, and it's now a couple dollars short of $300,000, and I'm recently retired within a year. So, and I always did a fixed account because it's 3% guaranteed rate because I never did trust the mutual funds and things, and I heard like horror stories. People were losing thousands of dollars at a time because something went wrong. But anyway, so now it's sitting there. And I really haven't started withdrawing it yet, but I don't know if there's something better to do with that than just let it sit there at 3%. I mean, it's just like a parking place, really, for the money.
Well, it really depends, Stan. I mean, it depends on what you, what your goals and objectives are. Are you married?
Not married. Don't need the money, really.
No, if you're not married, you don't need the money, and you're living off of your Social Security and your pension.
No, living off my county school retirement, and I'm not old enough here for Social Security.
Okay.
Just
so
60.
If you're satisfied with that and it's just emergency money, then there's nothing wrong with that, leaving it at 3% if you're happy with that. Now,
Right. Keep
in mind, Stan, for every thousands of dollars you heard people lost, there's also hundreds of thousands of dollars of people made over that period of time. So, you know, the markets are funny. They go up and they go down. And if you've not been invested for the last 9 years or so, I don't necessarily know now would be the time. But if you ever see a big market pullback, that would be the time to say, hey, I've got all this money sitting on the sideline. Maybe it's time for me to put a little bit of it to work in something more than just a 3% bank account. So
I really don't mind a 3%. Because I know it's there no matter what.
And, you know, that's the key, Stan, the investing based on your goals and objectives. And you don't need to make more money, so don't worry about investing it more.
I really just wanted to hear you not say, urgh. Get it out of there quick.
If we were biased in the sense that all we care about is trying to convince you to invest with us, then that's what I would say. But I'm not. I have to tell you what I believe is the honest truth. Your goals line up with your investment. You're happy with it. 3% is a good rate of return in today's economy.
Sure.
You're doing fine, my friend.
And how do those things? I know they're not FDIC. What
it's strictly guaranteed by the backing is strictly the safety and strength of VALIC and whoever they. I'm assuming that
whoever
fixed
they
percent
use to do the stable value fund. You know, it
could
be
may
any
not
of,
even be a stable value, Tom. It may just be a fixed guarantee from VALIC. So it's probably just them.
Yep.
And but VALIC is a very strong group, and so I wouldn't be too worried about them.
Great. Yeah. That made my day. I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
I like your show. I listen every week. Thank
you.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you.
We're going to Mike in Park Heights. Owns a stock. What's the stock?
Hey, Drew. First of all, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. It's Monday. You can call me then, too. Go ahead. Ask your question, Mike. We lose him?
Uh-oh.
We lose him?
Chris, did we lose him?
No, I can hear you guys.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Ask your question.
Yeah, what's up, Mike?
The stock is GoGo.
GoGo. You familiar with that?
Do you know anything about it?
Is it GoGo or GoPro?
GoGo, G-O-G-O.
I don't know anything about it. I guess I'm not as good as Kramer who can just make a story.
Why'd you buy it?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a long-term play, but they're the leaders in airplane internet service providers.
Oh, okay. I heard of another company that was like that. I can't remember who they were.
Yes, so I used them when I flew from Baltimore to Cleveland. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about was NVIDIA and AMD. And I just got to say, you know, I bought AMD about 5 months ago, and I was a little skeptical with earnings, but I had a good feeling about it, and they knocked the cover off, and I'm just waiting for NVIDIA, which I own also, down at about $65-$70 a share, and it's up around 170 now, and I got about 800 shares of that and about 3,000 shares of AMD and about 200 shares of GoGo right now. But I just want to tell you, I love the stock market. I love investing, and I just hope some other young people get into it and just investing in general, whether it's real estate or fixed assets or stocks, commodities, whatever it is, but investing if you start early enough and you educate yourself, or you get a professional to do it, I think it's the best thing for young people to do. And, again, happy birthday, Drew.
All right, Mike. Well, nice, good. Mike. We ought to hire Mike as our analyst.
Yeah,
you know?
You go.
Mike,
right.
You have a good one. Thank you for calling. We're going to Charlie in Baltimore. Charlie, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi, Drew. I just had a question about, I noticed that some people refuse jury duty pay. What are the tax implications of that? Does it matter?
I mean, it's relatively small, and it is taxable. It's just regular taxable income. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with their employer.
Yeah.
That if they get paid as a jury duty, they don't get paid by the employer. But if they deny it, the employer will pay them. I don't know. But there's no real major tax consequences, and it's a tiny bit of money. What's it, like $5 a day or something ridiculous like that?
Less, but, yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, you got me, Charlie, why somebody would turn it down. It's let's say you got $50 from the county or whatever for the state to go to a trial, and you were on it for 3 days, and you got $150. It probably cost you $50 in taxes, and you still pocket $100. But the only reason I could think of is that there's something with their employer, that if they accept jury duty pay, then the employer's not going to pay them. But if they don't, then the employer will pay them. I don't know. That's not the way our firm works, so it's hard for me to answer that question. But nothing I know, my friend.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you.
All right.
Happy
you take birthday. Care. Thank you. All right, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, and direct the conversation. And, Go-Go that Mike talked about,
yeah.
There was another person that we came into our office recently,
mm-hmm.
and they had a stock that had to do with in-flight Wi-Fi services and so forth.
Right.
You know, it's obvious that I think there's going to come a time where we're going to all be on airplanes
right.
making cell phone calls and all that kind of stuff, you know, but...
we can't bring our laptops, you know, someplace.
Yeah, well, that's... hopefully that's only temporary, Tom, but,
yeah.
It's not something that, you know, there can be that big a service for it,
mm-hmm.
and even if there is, it's certainly not an industry that could have... a substantial moat around it of any sort. I don't know.
Right.
It just doesn't come across as something that I would be, all that fascinated with.
Yeah. Well, then again, you don't fly that much. You know, you don't travel all that much. And there are some people that for business travel, they are taking a lot of trips or taking trips across continent, across the ocean.
When I do, I almost always sign up for the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so that's, so there are a lot of flights going out there.
There are. I mean, I don't know how many flights take off every day, but there's got to be a good...
Tens of thousands, I think.
I bet you it's more than that. That's a good question. How many flights take off on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, we'll have to look into that,
right.
Tom. While we're on the break, we got to take a break right now. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in the second part of the hour, we have nobody on the line, so you can call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. Right now, we got to take a traffic break. Take getaway traffic.
Hey.
You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Who is this?
Come on, Tom.
Rock Stop, Cry Like a Baby.
That's a good guess, Tom. Way to go. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
I'll tell you. I had that on the tip of my tongue, if you don't believe that. I wouldn't believe it if I were you. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Lines are open, completely open. Nobody's on the line, so if you want to call in, you can get on right now and ask your question, 410-922-6680. To ask your question and direct the conversation in a way that answers the questions that are most important to you. 410-922-6680. So, you know, you go ahead.
Just thinking about things that I always bring this up because I'm in the middle of it with the 529s. I was just mentioning to our team the other day that Maryland just made some improvements to its 529 plan. They renegotiated with T. Rowe Price. They lowered some expenses and some fees. They've improved the program overall, in my opinion. And so, and this is the time of year where people are getting to make those tuition payments. We've had a lot of conversations about people getting those set up and flowing payments through there. And we've had some time with those representatives here. But if you're a Maryland resident and you've got kids going to college anywhere, not just in Maryland, you should definitely, in my opinion,
flow your tuition and room and board payments through the Maryland 529 plan.
Yep.
And it'll get you a $5,000 deduction married per child per year for at least the next 10 years.
Yep, yep. Exactly.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no-brainer. So
anyway, I was going to do a touch on the screen. You know, I'm like, yes. Yeah. We're going to Cash Disbursements Joe in Centerville. Joe, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. How you doing? I have a question. I have a sibling that needs to disburse some cash to me, and I'm wondering how large of an amount they can disburse to me before there's tax implications.
Joe, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me explain why, okay? Everybody listening thinks the same thing that you just asked. They think that there's income tax consequences if they give you more money than a certain amount. And the number that is always comes to mind is the number 14,000. Well, Joe, good news. There is no amount of money that a sibling can give a sibling, or a parent can give a child, or a grandparent can give a grandchild, or whatever, that would ever cause income taxation, period. So your sibling could give you $800,000 tomorrow, and there's no tax consequences to you, no income tax consequences to her or him, no income tax consequences to you. It has nothing to do with income taxes when family members make a gift out of the gratitude of their heart strictly as a gift. Okay?
Well, that's great news. I was concerned about it.
Now,
and you've answered my question.
Well, let me just go on. There is a quirky little thing in the law called the gift and estate tax laws. This only has to do with people, Joe, that have millions of dollars, more than $5 million net worth. If your sibling has more than a $5 million net worth, then they need to talk to some professional estate advisor. But otherwise, don't worry about it. Does your sibling have more than a $5 million of assets?
If she does, she's not letting me know, or not sharing it with me.
Well, then they can give you any amount, and you don't have to really worry about it.
Now, does the sister need to file a gift tax return if she gives him over $14,000, technically?
Technically, the answer to that question is yes. There's no taxes
owed.
There's no cash owed.
Right.
Only the lawyers and accountants are going to make money if she does that.
Right.
But the risk to her is that someday she'll be worth a lot of money, $5 or $6 million, and they're going to go back to her one day when she dies or whatever. So the IRS could go back to her one day and say, hey, you remember in 2017 when you gave your brother Joe $16,000?
Right.
You know, that $2,000 is subject to estate taxation, and that's the only potential risk. But if she's never going to be worth more than $5 or $10 or $11 million, then chances are it doesn't really matter.
Well, unless we elect the wrong person next in our presidency that introduces a regressive estate tax.
I think that the key, Joe, here is that there are no income tax consequences to giving money between family members if it's out of the goodness of their heart. For majority of the situation, the only time it would be different is if my son worked in my company with me and I wanted to give him money in lieu of compensation. That could be a problem, but in 99% of the time, a gift between family members has no income tax consequences.
Great. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Right. Sorry we convoluted it, but we did answer it sooner or later. Kenny in Kingsville, how can we help you?
Yeah, I was wondering what you all think about investing in silver dollars, and do you have to pay a capital gains tax when you sell them?
Okay, so silver is what's known as a commodity, all right, and so or a collectible, let's call it. And so, you know, if you buy silver, you would be subject to a 28% capital gains tax instead of the 15% capital gains tax. So that's a worst case scenario in the capital gains. I think silver is a good investment. Okay, so in other words, if you look at the supply and demand of silver, you get a quirky situation that sends gold back up to $1,900 an ounce, or it's high. Silver could easily go to $50 an ounce. So gold going from $1,200 to $1,900 is about a 50% gain. Silver going from $17 an ounce where it is right now to $50 an ounce is about a 300% gain. So we think silver has a lot of unique investment opportunity. But now the question becomes, Kenny, do I invest in silver bullion? Or do I invest in some form of silver stock that will go up if the price of silver goes up? That's a whole different question. So if I'm just investing in silver for the price movement of silver, I buy a silver stock of some sort. I buy SLV, or I buy a silver miner, or I do something like that, okay? If I'm afraid the world's going to fall apart, and I want to have tangible silver that I can get a hold of and use to operate business and do conduct buy and sell with people because the U.S. dollar is gone, then I buy silver dollars. I would never buy silver dollars because I want to participate in the upside of silver. And the reason is because it costs you too much to buy silver bullion. And then the safety of keeping it until you resell it. And when you resell it, you're going to get ripped off again.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem with buying silver bullion is strictly as an investment is people are going to rip you off to buy it, and they're going to rip you off to sell it.
Yep.
Okay, is that where it's like a dollar or two over spot and under spot to buy a coin?
Yeah, it's too much. You're paying way over the percentage of, you know, you're better off just buying silver on the stock exchange through SLV or something like that, and that way you can get rid of it instantly for $5. Like we trade with Schwab and Fidelity, and it's $5 to buy it and sell it. And so, you know, and every year there's a tiny little cost that comes out of the SLV account to store the gold and the silver, et cetera, et cetera. But I can sell it instantly at the exact, almost the exact price of silver at any moment. And compared to what you're going to do, you're going to buy $16 ounce silver for like 17 something, and you're going to sell $16 dollar an ounce silver for 15 something. And that differential is going to make it very difficult. I just need a 10, 20 cent move in silver and I could make money. But if you're worried about the world falling apart, then you buy the silver coins and you hold on to them.
Okay, I'll look into that SLV stuff because what I was looking to do is the American Eagle silver coins.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just going to move with the price of silver, and you're going to get ripped off when you buy it and you're going to get ripped off when you sell it. If you just want to own silver, just buy silver SLV.
Okay, well, I'm glad I learned this from you. I'm looking at the SLV. You said it's called SLV accounts?
It's just called the Exchange Traded Fund ETF SLV. So you buy it at the price, the spot price of silver, you sell it at the spot price of silver, and you buy it for $5, you sell it for $5.
So if you had an account at Charles Schwab or Fidelity, you would buy it through that kind of an account.
That's the stock symbol, SLV. All right, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to one of their websites to check it out.
All right, buddy, take care. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Right now, I got to go to a pause with traffic. Be right back. All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Bun Bun, back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That was Florida.
Well, Florida's great.
Did you buy a house down there so you could go tax-free for the rest of, state income tax-free for the rest of your life?
No, not yet, but I'm looking forward to opening the office there in the future.
Yeah, you and me, I'm there with you, man. I'm there, so... We're on an open show. We have about 10 minutes left. We'll take a couple callers. We do have one caller online I'm going to go to in a second. So if you want to call in and be the other one or two callers we can take before this show's over, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask your question, we do have two or three lines open, so now's the time to call in and ask that question. We did have a caller call in, and they wanted me to give our office number for them, and we don't do that very often,
right?
Because we don't want to sound like, you know, the people on the air that just sell,
those,
and that's all they're about.
Loudmouth, you
know, loudmouth, bombastic. That's what Sean called me this morning. Can you believe that? And our office number is 410-823-7283. It's 410-823-SAVE. 823-7283. 823 SAVE is the word way of saying,
right.
7283. Anyway, 823 SAVE. We're going back to the callers. Jim in Ellicott City, if you want to, what do you want to ask about? Donations. All right.
Yes. Hi. I just began looking into, I want to donate to a charitable trust fund.
Okay.
Well, it's actually through Vanguard Charitable. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
So it's not really a charitable
trust.
It's a charitable fund.
Correct, yeah.
A donor advised fund. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So they told me that if I want, I asked them, can I donate mutual fund shares from a mutual fund investment? And they said yes.
Correct.
How does that work with the cost basis and taxes?
So, go ahead, Tom. You like this one. You're good at this.
Well, this is a beautiful thing. So, you know, it's really, you don't have to worry about that cost basis. I mean, they'll ask you for it. They'll ask you when you bought it. But it's going to be donated to them. And you're going to get the tax deduction for the full amount. So, say you bought the mutual fund and you paid $10,000 originally, you know, and now it's worth $20,000. You're going to donate all those shares to them. You're going to get a tax deduction for $20,000, even though you only paid $10,000 for it. They'll sell it on their end. They don't pay taxes because it's charitable, and you get a full tax deduction on the $20,000.
One little caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them the short-term dividend reinvested shares.
Right. So you have to the caveat being that, as Drew's pointing out, is in order to get the full tax deduction, you have to give them something that you've held for greater than a year.
I'm good there because 3 years ago I stopped reinvesting
distributions. Yep.
So everything is long term.
Yep.
Now I've had this particular fund. I'm going to peel off, you know, some money to fund this charitable
donor advised fund.
Mm-hmm. Donor advised fund. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So I've had this mutual fund for quite a few years. So are they going to use like an average cost?
No, they're not even going to ask you what your cost basis is, Jim. All they need to know is what's the value at the day you give it
to
them.
But what I would do is if you have that information, I would ask the mutual fund company, if that's where it's held, or the broker, to give them the lowest cost shares. You know,
do specific
identification. So, like, for instance, I gave stock the other day, and I gave our folks the information. I said, I want these shares to be given because they were my lowest cost basis shares.
Yep, that's a good point.
I can do that. I mean, they're held at Fidelity, so I believe there's a record, you know, going back I can access. So.
And Fidelity also has a similar fund if it's easier for you to just transfer within Fidelity.
That's what he said. He's going to use Fidelity Donor Advised Fund.
No, he's going to use Vanguard, he said.
No, I'm going to use Vanguard.
Oh.
I tend to like Vanguard.
Yeah, they're great. But they're both good companies.
They're both good.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
And, yep.
Yes. So, okay, very good. That helps. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right,
you're
Jim.
Welcome.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.
So, you know, that's a great topic, donor mm-hmm. advice fund. So why would Jim want to do this? Okay, so what he's going to do is he's going to take a bunch of a mutual fund. So let's say he has a mutual fund that he paid on average $30,000 for, and it's now worth $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just use that.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say he wants to do $50,000 of it, and he's going to give to him. So like you said, identify the lowest cost shares that comes up to a market value today of $50,000.
Right.
So let's say those shares are only $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really big gain on $5,000 worth of shares that he paid for, but he's going to get a full deduction for $50,000. Now, one thing he has to be careful about is he's only going to get a deduction up to 30% of his AGI,
right.
his adjusted gross income.
Yep.
So let's say his adjusted gross income is $100,000. He's only allowed a $33,000 deduction, or not even $30,000
mm-hmm.
deduction
yep.
in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to carry it over for up to a maximum of 5 years.
Right.
But in that illustration, he would use it up immediately. But if Jim were really going to be generous
mm-hmm.
and his AGI is only $100,000 and he gives him $500,000 because he's
right.
got this fund that's just gone up. He started to buy it in the 60s and it's worth a fortune now. And he's going to give it a large portion of it away. He may not get, you know, in 5 years, use up that whole deduction.
Right.
In
right.
addition, let's say he can, all right? He should be looking at, should I be doing Roth conversions?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Should I, you know, am I giving enough away
right.
that maybe I should turn around and convert traditional IRAs to Roth
sure.
to compensate for
right.
the deduction I'm going to get
yep.
from this gift of these mutual fund shares?
Yep.
I mean, you know, what he's doing.
It's lots of opportunities.
It's lots of opportunities, but it has to be thought out along
yep.
the way.
Yep.
And now, what is the ultimate purpose to Jim?
Yep.
Well, the ultimate purpose is in a donor advised fund, he's going to have, let's say he puts $50,000 in it.
Right.
It'll be $50,000 in there, continue to be invested. He gets the deduction immediately when he puts it in there.
Right.
But he can now have a perpetual fund to some degree. And he
right.
can bring his grandchildren alongside him and say, okay, this year we've got $5,000 to give. Who do we want to give it to?
Right.
And the next year he could do it again with
yep.
him. And the next year he could say, okay, we got $10,000. Who do we want to give it to? So this donor advised fund, he gets a deduction immediately, but the money doesn't actually have to be given away to charity for years and years and years.
Yep.
And it can cause a family foundation sort of without
it's
going
to... It's a great alternative to a family foundation, which is very expensive, can be very expensive to operate and to monitor and so forth. And Baltimore Community Foundation offers a similar thing. And sometimes people do this when they have a large income in a year and they need to get that, want to make a bigger deduction. There's a whole host of reasons. The market's up. They want to get rid of some things while the market's up. A lot of reasons people accelerate those gifts.
So, Tom, our closing song, and we had an opening song, Money Can't Buy You Love, but our closing song is James Taylor, Shower the People You Love with Love, and that's really the issue. You know, that's what he said at the beginning. I wish you would want the things that money can't buy. And, you know, what it's really all about is showering the people you love with love. And so that's why we decided to finish the show with that song, Shower the People You Love with Love. So do we have a guest next week?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And right now we've got on the 2nd of August, we have a Mary Beth Franklin as a tentative guest.
All right. We'll find out what she's talking about. Right now, shower the people you love with love. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.